Our reading is from Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 4. When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
This must be a really familiar passage of scripture to most of you. You must have heard this lots of times. For those of you who grew up in Christian families, you'll have heard it when you were in Sunday school, children's church, upstairs church, junior church, whatever it was called when you were growing up. And the danger with anything that we've heard lots of times is we can come to it and we can think, well, I know this story. I know what this is about. And there are a couple of things going on here that sometimes we don't get. And I want to take you back. I referred to Leviticus 13 when I was talking with the little ones. But back in Leviticus 13, I'm just going to read the first four verses. The whole of Leviticus 13 is about skin diseases, leprosy. And there's a lot of repetition in it. And a lot of description about the actual complaint and what's happening in the skin and the hair follicles and all of that. But we don't need all of that for today. You can read it if you're interested, but I want to focus on just a couple of things. So verses 1 to 4, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When anyone has a swelling or a rash or a shiny spot on their skin, that may be a defiling skin disease. They must be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons who is a priest. The priest is to examine the sore on the skin, and if the hair in the sore has turned white and the sore appears to be more than skin deep, it's a defiling skin disease. When the priest examines that person, he shall pronounce them ceremonially unclean. If the shiny spot on the skin is white but does not appear to be more than skin deep, and the hair in it has not turned white, the priest is to isolate the affected person for 7 days. And then it goes on, and after 7 days, if it's still not right, there's another 7 days. But you get the gist. But then right at the end of Leviticus 13, in verses 45 and 46, it says this: anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. Where's the good news in this, Brian? Well, there is good news in this, but there's also a challenge for us. I find it a challenge because it questions the way I read, understand, and apply Scripture. And the filters and the things that I do in my head with different bits of Scripture that sometimes I don't even notice I'm doing. So when I read this, Leviticus is really clear about how we should treat somebody who's got leprosy, isn't it? It's crystal clear. There is no debate available. And Jesus himself says that he has not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And yet, when Jesus is confronted by somebody who is ceremonially unclean, he does what he should not do. And he touches him. Jesus, who didn't come to abolish the law, seems to me to break it. That's a struggle for us, isn't it? Does anybody, am I the only person who finds this awkward? I find it awkward. There's no easy way to iron that wrinkle out. There isn't. And a lot of scripture does this to us, doesn't it? And it's not bad. It's okay to feel uncomfortable. It's all right. Now, there are two things happening in the Leviticus passage that explain Jesus' actions. And they're important for you and me today. The first thing that happens in the Leviticus passage is the word unclean and defiling is used a lot. But it covers two separate issues. One is the issue of contagion, catching. We know all about that, don't we? If you're not familiar with contagion at the moment, you must have had your head in the sand for the last 2 and a bit years. We know all about that. And some of what's in Leviticus is good common sense, keeping away from people who might have something that's catching. I've never had leprosy. I have had impetigo. I had it with monotonous regularity at school because children would get it, they'd touch all the door handles in the school, and we'd all get it. And it went around the school. Scabies, another one. Now, all of these would be under the list of defiling skin diseases. So not everything was leprosy. But there's one part of Leviticus that deals with the stopping the spread. And there's one part that deals with stopping you going to worship. Because that's what ceremonially unclean means. You can't go into the temple. That's a big thing, isn't it? So when Jesus touches this man, he is doing something absolutely amazing. He is saying that somebody who is ceremonially unclean is loved by God. And they might not have picked that up before. In fact, through Jesus' teaching, he repeatedly says, you think that this has happened because of sin, don't you? Well, I tell you it hasn't. It happened so that my Father can be glorified. And we hear Jesus saying about being quick to judge. Yet still in our time, people who've been healed of leprosy but carry the marks of it in their body are outcasts, untouchable. There's some things scattered around the room. There's some envelopes and some leaflets from the leprosy mission. And I know that I'm a week early, but I didn't want to confine John Weaver when he came to having to deal with leprosy Sunday. So we're doing it a week early. You haven't got to put any money in it this week. It doesn't matter when you put it in. You've got the envelopes. They're yours. Do with them what you'd like. But you see, in this day and age, people still suffer the same stigma that the 10 who were standing away from everybody suffer. It hasn't finished. So where's the good news? Well, the good news is that you and me might not have an outwardly visible skin disease. But whatever, like the skin disease, separates you from God in your head, Jesus can overcome. For the bloke who had leprosy, he healed it. But before he healed it, he touched him. What does that mean? It means for you and me, Jesus will come to us and he will touch us before we're good enough, before we've been perfected, before we're mended, before we're healed, before we're right with God. This is good news. And he does it on the basis not of what you've done or will do, but on the basis of what he did and why he did it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have life everlasting. And Jesus touches the leper. Where do you need a touch? What is it for you today? Because you don't have to leave this room without knowing the touch of Jesus Christ on your life. You don't have to. How did Jesus teach this man with leprosy? How did Jesus treat this man with leprosy? First of all, he engaged him. Didn't ignore him. Other people wanted to keep away from him. Not Jesus. He touches him. He breaks the ceremonial code. And by doing so, he changes how we think about clean and unclean. He challenges our thinking and our attitudes. He declares that he is willing to change this man's present and his future. Sometimes we come to church and we hear someone saying, you know, Jesus can change your life today, and we sit there thinking, yeah, not, but not mine. Oh, Brian, if you knew what I'd done, if you knew who I was. And do you know what? I don't want to know. I don't need to know. But Jesus does know, and still he comes to us. He touches him, he engages him, and he makes the man, he heals him. But that's not what he says. He says, be clean. Be clean. It's not just his skin disease that's being dealt with. It's the disease of his heart. And then he commands him to keep quiet and to go and do what it says in Leviticus 14 and verse 30 that has never been done yet. For all those hundreds of years, two and a bit millennia, go and offer two doves. No one's ever been healed of leprosy yet. And when he goes to offer that sacrifice, the priests will know that Jesus is Messiah. He comes to the individual. He touches the individual. But he's the one who came for the whole world. I just think this story is amazing. And no matter how many times I read it and I think about it, I still can't get over what it must have been like for that bloke when Jesus looked him in the eye and touched him, when no one else would. But then each one of us who has met with Jesus personally knows that same feeling, don't we? And if you don't yet know that feeling, then here's what you need to do. You need to open your heart and mind to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, more than a human. And that he really did die for your sin. And he really is willing to be involved in your life and touch your life and transform it. And he is not expecting return of service to pay for it. He does it because he loves you. And he wants you to know it. I've lost my order of service, which is really bad news. Thank you. And he does it because everyone needs compassion. The kindness of a saviour. We're going to stand and sing those words, but before we do, let's just take a moment's quiet. I'd ask you to close your eyes to respect other people's privacy. Now, if you're here this morning and you know that there's something in your life that makes you feel like the leper, the man with leprosy, the defiling illness. And if you want that gone, then this is the opportunity. Let's pray. Father, we sing a song from time to time that says, say the word, I will be healed. Say the word, I will be cleansed. Father, you know the heart and mind of each of us. You know the things we've said, the things we've done, the things we've thought. Father, we want to pray the prayer that David prayed and ask that you would cleanse us and heal us, that you would renew a right spirit within us, and that you would lead us in your way ever.